and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Because every single time I praise and I worship, don't you just immediately feel joy? Don't you immediately feel peace? There's nothing like being in the presence of God. We're going to do two different things this morning before we praise and worship. I just want you to say to the person next to you, hey, lighten up a little bit. Hey, some of us need to lighten up. Some of us need to lighten up. Jamie Spano, lighten up a little bit, please. You're giving me anxiety. Lighten up a little bit. All right, so if we're gonna move in the presence of joy, or in the presence of God, then sometimes we need to usher in that joy ourselves. So I want you to find one more person, and I just want you to force a laugh. Pastor Rana did it, and it made me laugh so hard. I want you to force. It's contagious, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Sometimes you just have to laugh. Laugh at your circumstance. Laugh in the enemy's face. Laugh at yourself because your attitude's ridiculous today and there's no reason for it. Just laugh and watch that presence of joy just come right in and that weight lift off your shoulders. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, clap right like this.
Joy,
oh, the joy of the Lord is You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will always be. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength. I've got the best life now. Living the blessed life now. I've got the best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive in you. I've got the best life now. Living the blessed life now. I've got the best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive in you. I've got the best life now. Living the blessed life now. Hey, I've got the best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive in you. I've got the best life now. Living the blessed life now.
I've got the best life now.
I've got the best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive in you. You've given me life, exceedingly life, abundantly
Jesus, thank you for being such a good God. Lord, if we could give ourselves life, we would, but we can't. So we come to you for that abundant life. We come to you for that abundant joy and that abundant peace. Thank you, Jesus, that you looked down upon us and you thought that we were worth something. Lord, even in our mess, your word says that while we were still sinners, you died for us. Lord, thank you for giving us your worth.
Changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be. So I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. Hallelujah and glory to the God who changed my life, and I will praise you
forever.
I'll give worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole. And I can tell everyone I know, you thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Glory to the God who changed. And I will praise you
forever.
I'll lift your name,
forever.
I'll give you praise
forever. Because I am free, because I am whole, and I will tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. And glory
worth saving.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for.
Hallelujah.
So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
Hallelujah. Jesus, in this room this morning, you're here. Jesus, where the presence of the Lord is, there is the power to heal. God, we need healing in this room, not just physical healing, but there are people that need emotional healing. There are people in this room, Jesus, that need you to touch them in their marriages, in their relationships. Lord, there are people this morning that are discouraged. And I speak right now in Jesus' name that as the presence of the Lord is here and the anointing is in this room, I speak forth restoration and miracles in Jesus' name. I declare, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, wherever you were, there you did. You taught, you preached, and you healed. So, God, today, even at this very moment, we release healing against sickness and disease. We command no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, and no growths that do not belong in the body of a believer. We command them to be trespassing and command them to come out of the body in Jesus' name. Lord, even reconstruction, I declare in Jesus' name. Lord, creative miracles that are absolutely impossible. Lord, I pray that even parts of the body that have been built, rebuilt, God, will now be built by you. That God, even the metal will come out for the glory of God. Lord, I declare in Jesus' name that, Lord, organs that have been taken out will be put back. Father, those that have been struggling, Lord, with their physical bodies will be made whole in Jesus' name. Bind right now any spirit that would try to disrupt the presence of the Lord. You foul thing, you have no right. We bind you in the name of Jesus, and you know the authority we have, and we stand in that. We command right now, even the doubt and the death and the spirits of the darkness will have to go for the glory of God. Lord, we thank you that this morning you're in this house. You're filling the balconies, angels. Lord, you're watching us. Jesus, you're moving in amongst us. Lord, I thank you that today you are alive in us. You are our hope of glory. We give you all the praise and all the honor in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, there is a person here on your right-hand side from about your knee, right about here. You're having pain, and I'm not sure exactly what that is. See, God doesn't tell me all the time what the things are. I can just feel them. And I know they're not mine because I didn't come in with them, and I don't want to go out with them. Can I hear an amen? So if that's you, just say, thank you, Jesus, and start moving that leg. You'll find the pain will dissipate and disappear because God wants to heal you. And usually when it's like one like this, it's usually a somebody that's not really sold out to Christ. And what God is doing is he's proving to you that he knows you, that he loves you, that he hears you, and that he cares for you. So just know that this morning, our Jesus is not dead, but he is. Come on, God's not dead, he is. Amen. Can you tell five people this morning on your way back to your chair, Jesus is alive.
How's it going?
Well, anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
Hey, are you new here at His Tabernacle? We have a class just for you to help you get connected and learn more about our church. Every single Sunday, we have Growth Track that happens at 9:30 to 10:30 here at the Horseheads campus. Make sure you come out and discover what God can do through you.
Guess what, guys? Upper Conference is right around the corner, and this is your opportunity to come out and serve. If that's something you want to do this year, I encourage you to go to theuproar.org and click on the volunteer tab, fill out the application, and we'll get right back to you. Also, keep your schedule open for July 14th and 21st. After second service, we're going to be having a volunteer meeting right in the sanctuary. We'll see you there.
How you doing, family? We're so excited about Next Steps and your ability to grow in your walk with Christ. Coming up this week and the weeks to follow, every single Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we have Step 1 and 2 right here at the Horseheads campus. And if you work overnight or you have a swing schedule, guess what? Wednesday mornings, we have Pastor Dan right here again at Horseheads for Step 1. But Thursday nights, we're at every location at 6 p.m. for Step 1, Rock Solid Faith, your foundation to grow in Jesus Christ. We'd love to see you there because we want to see you successful. Our success is to make you successful.
Welcome, family. How's everyone doing this morning? Looks like everyone's bright and cheery-eyed on this beautiful Sunday morning. We just want to welcome you. We want to welcome our guests today. If you are a guest in the house today, we'd love for you to just raise your hand up. We have a gift for you. The ushers are going to bring you a gift, so go ahead and wave your hand in here if you're a guest, if this is your first time here. Awesome, awesome. We want to welcome you today. We want to welcome our live stream family. Thank you for tuning in. I encourage you to come check it out. If you can be in-house, it's powerful, and you shouldn't miss it. Let's see. How many of you have been to Women's Encounter, if you're a woman in here? Well, because the demand is so crazy and over the top, I know they had mentioned that next June, we're going to be doing another one, but there's talk, I hear, of maybe a potential one in the fall. So I want to encourage you, woman, or even husband, if your wife has not been able to go or if you've not been able to attend, I want to encourage you to start planning for that, praying about that. Those dates are October 24th through the 26th of this year. So if you haven't gone yet, I encourage you to go because it's absolutely powerful. There are only 14 spots, so it's limited. So if this is something that you feel you need to do, I would hop on it now. It goes quick. Also, you can register and get more details from Ange Morgan. She can help you out with that. And then we are super excited that we have Dr. John Avanzini. He's going to be back with us. What date is that? July 7th, both services. I'm telling you, if you need financial breakthrough or revelation, I want to encourage you to come to that. He's powerful in that, and he's just always brings a great word. So I'd encourage you to come out to that. Also, we have worship team tryouts starting July 1st. If you feel like you can sing, you want to be a part of the choir. If you're like me and you know you can't sing, don't come. But if you feel like you can sing, I encourage you to come out to that. They're always looking to grow the teams. As you know, we have multiple campuses now, so this is your chance to get involved. And now we have Pastor Cody with offering.
You guys still asleep or not so excited about offering or no? Hey, look, I'm so excited. I love the house of God. I love being in church. And I love that we are a balanced church. Amen? Why do I say this? You know, a lot of places are out of balance. A lot of places, they only talk about a few certain things instead of the fullness of what God is doing and what he has for us. And I love that in this house, and a lot of people, they don't like it because they don't understand balance. That we have great worship, that we're very strong on the word, but also we have a balance because Jesus talked about money. And our lives often revolve around how much we make, how many dollars an hour we can make, what we're going to do for our retirement. And balance is key. And I love that tithing, it's not law. It was a part of the law, but it was before the law. Abraham gave unto the Lord before the law ever came about. And as believers, we give because our heart is towards God, because we love God and we know every victory and all increase is from him. So giving for us is not part of the law. It's out of our love for Jesus. It's out of our love for Christ. Today, if you turn your Bible real quick to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, it says this. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Ready? For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. What the Bible is telling us is where we put our treasure is where our heart will remain. So when we put our treasure into the kingdom of heaven, our heart will remain attached to the kingdom of heaven. When our treasure is attached to our retirement, then our heart is attached to retirement. But when our heart is attached to souls and doing the work of the kingdom and the work of God, then our heart is also attached in that very place. See, God's heart was us. We are his treasure because he sent his son. And I want to challenge all of us to have a heart that's attached to eternal things, not temporal things. Not that things are bad, but when things have us, it's completely out of whack and it's out of balance. I found some statistics this week and I want to just lay them out for you. But this was really heartbreaking and statistical facts. Ready? Tithers only make up 10 to 25% of a normal congregation. This is statistics. And only 5% of the United States tithes, with 80% of Americans only giving about 2% of their income. Christians are only giving at a 2.5% per capita, while during the Great Depression, they gave it a 3.3% cap per capita. Ready? I found this, and I believe it was on Charisma News. They did a study. They said if believers were to increase their giving to a minimum of, let's say, 10%, which is what God has said, there would be an additional, and this is staggering, $165 billion for churches to use and distribute. Ready? The global impact would be astronomical. Here's a few things the church could do with $165 billion. One, $25 billion could relieve global hunger yearly, starvations and death from preventable diseases in 5 years. $12 billion could eliminate illiteracy in 5 years. $15 billion could solve the world's water and sanitation issues, specifically at places in the world where 1 billion people live on less than $1 a day. $1 billion could completely, fully fund all overseas mission work, and the church would still have $100 to $110 billion for building and local expansion. You realize that is a worldview, but what could we do in Chemung County? What could we do in Ithaca? What could we do in Mansfield if as a body we decided we're going to make an impact? And we're not just doing these things so we can say we did good things. No, we're doing these things so we can point to Jesus. Everything we do, what we give towards is not to have a bigger building. It's to point people to Jesus. And that's what our 10% goes to, is making an impact for eternity so that people can come to know the one true God who loves them. And when our hearts can be attached to what God's heart is attached to, I know that he's going to take care of our household as well. So this morning, if you've never given, if you've never tithed, I want to challenge you to start today. God will not leave you out to dry. He's not going to leave you worse than you started. And when we trust him, he will always be faithful. Maybe you are a tither. I want to challenge you to sow and to give, because he will reward those who are sowers with the ability to reap. Today, if you have your offering prepared, can you go ahead and stand to your feet? If you don't yet, there's an envelope on the chair under you or beside you. Also, you can text to give. That will be on the screen shortly. Or if you're watching online, you can go to histabernacle.com and click the give button. And you can go ahead and start giving today so we can make an impact and do what the Lord has called us to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Today we're going to do our supernatural proclamation. I got yelled at recently, so I'm going to stick it out and I'm going to do it with you guys today, all right? Ready? Let's start. Ready? If I obey, then I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings will chase me down. They'll trip me up. Why? Why? Wait, who are you? Awesome. Come give your tithe and offering to the Lord. Oh, wait. You're supposed to say, I'm blessed. Ready? I'm blessed.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's your strength? Amen. I am overwhelmed. I asked actually for more time to preach today. How many of you know this church is built on the Word of God? I love worship. I love worship. In fact, worship brings us into the presence of God where our spirit is able to receive. But you know, we are a word church. I believe the Bible declares that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I love worship, but it doesn't say faith comes by singing. Faith comes by the Word of God. This is our last Sunday on Next Level Faith. How many of you have been challenged in your faith through this whole series? Listen, if you've missed any part of these, you need to go to histabernacle.com. And you need to go to what it says watch, go down to archives, and you need to watch this series. This is something that is pinnacle to your Christian life. I am actually very heartbroken today, in a sense, to where I see so many empty seats. Many people are out doing their thing and playing with their families and enjoying the sunshine, but they have traded something that is imperative for their Christian walk to meet a sensory need. And until we learn this, then we're constantly going to be struggling in our walk with God. We've got to learn that we are all making decisions. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. If you're sowing in the flesh, you will of your flesh reap corruption, which means this. If you choose to feed your senses more than you're feeding your spirit, then you can't be shocked that when it's time you need something in the spirit, you're devoid. It's like somebody missing a pinnacle teaching in algebra. And now it comes time for a test, and they sit down to take their test, and they can't complete their test because they're missing that key ingredient to make the quotient work properly. It's time to say to ourselves, thank God for our world that God's blessed us with. Remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but he's given the earth to us. Thank God for that, amen? Today it's going to be 78 degrees and sunny, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm also preaching to you that are online. That is, we've got to make decisions in our life. That is, if our faith is going to increase, it is not going to happen on accident. It is something that we have got to look at the Word of God, understand the Word of God, live the Word of God, practice the Word of God. This is called next level faith. Thank God you had the faith to get saved, but God didn't just give you faith to be saved. He wants to increase your faith so you'll learn how to step out on nothing to land on something. Can I hear an amen? That when hell starts licking your toes with the power of God, with the release of faith, you have the ability to cancel every fiery dart of the enemy. That's why the Bible says we have the shield of faith. But most believers are not filled with faith. They're filled with doubt. They're governed more by their senses than they are by the principles of God's word. And until we cross over in a decision that things of God are more important than the things of the world, our sensory world, then we are constantly going to be struggling because we're never going to truly impactfully apply the principles of God's word because we don't know them. Someone said to me, I don't need church to be saved. And that's true. But you need church to grow. I didn't hear anything out of that one. I said, you don't need to go to church to go to heaven. But you need church to grow. You need church to fulfill your vision. You need church to do God's will. Without that, then you're not going to use any of the gifts that he's given you and he's going to cast you away. See, we're in a world today, we're in Christianity in America, we placate ourselves, we pacify ourselves by playing with our sensory realm so deeply that we dislocate ourselves from the supernatural world. And I don't know if you realize it, but the fact is that faith is that key to activate heaven in your life. And the least amount of faith that you have, the least amount of activation. With the least amount of activation, then the sensory world takes precedence. If it takes precedence, then what you need God to do, he himself is hindered because God can't release where faith is not released. This is where God's word is so powerful. This next level faith is everything. We learn that faith is now. Faith is not, I hope it's going to happen in the future. I'll believe it when I see it. Faith is now. That means that you have, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, that the Word of God is your faith in the aspect of when you're believing for something, until it manifests itself on earth, you have the answer right here. This is your healing. This is your car. This is yours. This is because you put your faith in the Word of God, and when faith coupled with the Word is released to heaven, it brings the canisters of glory where God identifies, and the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Faith has a sound. And that's what I want to talk about today. Faith is not just internal, but faith has a sound. And I want to talk to you about the voice that God has given you. The ability to speak is what God has given you. And faith is released through the power of the spoken word of the Word. So this is why the enemy's working desperately to keep you out of the Word. The more you don't know the Word, the less you can speak the Word, the less you can release your faith. Therefore, you have not the answer that you're looking for. Today, we're going to learn some basic principles, and it's this. One, we can trust the Word in a step in releasing the supernatural power of living by faith. Shout it out loud, I walk by faith. And not by sight. Second, we're going to learn what is in your heart is what you actually truly believe. And it's what you speak. Number three, words are a key, if I shout key, to obtaining heaven to earth. We must learn to agree with God. The Bible, and you can turn there with me, and our text for the day is Psalms 19, verse 14, and it says this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my, and the meditation of my be acceptable, which means there is unacceptable. See, there are thoughts that are unacceptable to God. There are words that are unacceptable by God. We've got to learn this. Because until we learn this, our faith will be bottled up and not released. God uses words as the ability to where we can release the Word of God to work out of heaven into our sensory realm. Here's the issue that we have. Our sensory realm will never change heaven. But heaven can change our sensory world. So when we're looking and dealing with a real situation, the more we remain in our flesh, in our senses, looking and putting our faith in what we can see, what we can touch, what we can hear, what we can feel, then we're not releasing heaven on earth. It is not until we say, God, your word is above my circumstance. God, your word is above my trouble. God, your word is above, and your word is yea and amen. God, you cannot lie. Lord, I decree your word. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Lord, my mind cannot even conceive the great things that you have in store for those who love you. God, I declare your word is above all things. See, the church has got to get back to believing the Word. We talked about this a few weeks ago. We've got to get back to believing the Word of God. It's not the Word of man. It's not another religious book. It's not the Bhagavad Gita. It's not the Quran. It's not some other religious writ that's sitting on our shelves. This is literally, not figuratively, the words of the living God. Jesus said it best. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are so blessed because we have the Word of God. I see some of you staring at that. It's all right, I'll move it. We've got to get back to believing. The Word must, in our spirit, be higher than what we see, feel, hear, touch, smell, and so on and so forth. That's not the way it is for most believers. And today I want to confront this. Today I want to teach you how to release your faith. I want to show you how God released his faith. God didn't have faith? No. God had faith. It's called the God kind of faith. We know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. God had faith to release his words to get his answer. And you and I are going to learn how God did it, but yet it comes back to believing that the word of God is more real than what your sensory world says. I didn't think I was going to get a lot of amens, but two more would have been nice. The Bible says very clearly, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth. Everybody shout truth. I heard somebody say to me one time, what is truth? Trying to get real philosophical. I said, it's easy, it's the Bible. Well, you know, the Bible, people look at it differently. Well, I'm sorry, the Bible's not for any man's interpretation. But it's by the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? For the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You see, we've got to get back to believing that Jesus Christ is not a liar. Amen. Jesus is not a liar. He wasn't a lunatic. Amen. See, the Bible declares that Jesus said the words. Jesus is the Word, John 1:1, John 1:14. Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word, Psalms 107. God sent his Word to heal us. You see, the Word of God is that supernatural power. The Word of God is alive, quick, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word is alive. And what happens simply is this, is that when the body of Christ does not believe the word above their circumstances, then the circumstances are now their God and the word is substandard. This is where many of us live. We live in putting God substandard. We're putting the word substandard to what we can see, touch in our sensory realm. Now, I'm not talking that the things in the sensory realm are not real. I'm not talking that they are not fact. But the Bible did not call us to declare the fact. The Bible called us to declare the truth. The Bible doesn't say the facts will make you free. It says the truth will make you free. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. Who's Jesus? He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. He said, I was there in the beginning. He's the Word who was and is to come. See, folks that just look at religion, I can understand them struggling with these kind of messages because they're doing a religious action to fulfill a religious obligation to make themselves feel better inside. But for those who know God, for those who walk with God, to those who love Jesus, to those who want to live for Jesus on this planet, this is the life that God is breathing into us. For Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, the words that I speak, they are spirit, they are pneuma, they are food to your spirit, man, and they are life. The word life, there is zoe. Way life, the God kind of life. You see, God's life is waiting for you. God kind of life is waiting for you. God's life is waiting for you, abundantly above all you could even ask or even imagine. I've made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on now, I want to bless you. God's life is waiting for you, but God's life can't be released until you believe God's word above your circumstances. See, we're in this quandary, this collision. We talked about it about, 3 weeks ago. The collision between the sense world and the faith world. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 49, I don't speak of my own authority. The Father who has sent me has commanded me what to say. And I love this part. Not only what to say, but how to say it. So Jesus, when he spoke, everything he spoke was from Father. Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the? Doesn't it say in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him? Everything that God does, Jesus did. Everything that Jesus did is the will of heaven. If it's the will of heaven, that means it's the Constitution. If it's the Constitution, that means those that are citizens have the ability to go in and grab a hold of the principles and bring heaven to earth. You see, you are not a normal human being. You are not just somebody walking on this planet. When you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you walk by faith. That means you transcend this natural sensory world and you call heaven into earth, and heaven bends earth's laws where earth laws cannot bend heaven. Until you get this, then you're constantly struggling with your religiosity. But Jesus said, come on now, I've made you citizens of heaven. That means when you see who you are, you walk differently than those that are in the world. You see differently. Why? Because faith can see. So Jesus is either telling the truth or he's a liar. That's a conflict. Because you look at your natural realm and you see that's a reality, that's a fact. And you have to make a choice. What is a greater fact? That God's word is truth? Or the fact that's sitting in front of you? This is the conflict. I have to make a decision every day that I get up, every single morning, that I'll walk by faith and not by sight. It is not something that just hits you and you walk in all the time. This is something you got to constantly remind yourself of. I walk by faith and not by sight. And as your faith increases, it becomes muscle memory where it becomes normal and your faith level rises to a new level. But man, every day that we walk on this earth, we can increase our faith in God. We've got to make a choice every single day to increase our faith to God. Did you see why I repeated that? You see, the camera went like this. You might be saying, well, Pastor, watch that. That means people on television weren't going to hear that quote. They need to hear this. You know, I'd like to pray. We prayed for this morning, and I want to pray for it now because I believe that the sense world is below the spiritual world. Right now, 15,000 people are watching His Word TV every single Sunday morning. And I'm believing God for no less than 10%, a tithe of them, to come to this house. Amen? We've been sowing it for all these years. Let's pray it in. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we speak not on earth, we're speaking to heaven. God, you said we can enter into the throne of God boldly. Lord, here we are, not as one, but as many. And we declare, God, the truth. And that is that, Jesus, your word is seed. We pray for all the seed that have been planted on the hearts of those who have watched this television program for all these years. And we call forth a harvest in the name of Jesus. Bring their souls to you, Lord. Lord, if they're not going to come to this church, get them to some church that they'll grow and mature in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, the seeds will not die on the ground, but Lord Jesus will bring forth a mighty harvest in these last days in Jesus' name. And everybody said, now you see, even that prayer, I can't see the people on television. I don't know who they are. My sense world says that doesn't make sense to pray that. It doesn't make sense. But you see, the principles of the Word of God declare this. One plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. And I know this, it's God's will that not one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's time for us to realize that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and we're interceding. We're closing the gap. Can I hear an amen? To where we can call those that are in darkness into His marvelous light. It's time to recognize that even in our prayer life, it has to be seen not in the sensory realm, but in the spiritual realm. You see, we have these choices we've got to make. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says this, choose this day whom you shall serve. You and I today are going to serve our sensory realm, which some are. And some are going to choose to serve the principles of God's word. You can't make somebody serve. They choose to serve. The fact is that today each one of us are making this choice. Do I choose to be governed when I leave this place? I'm going to go outside and my sense says it's hot. Truth or not? That is fact. It is hot. It's going to be hot outside. 78 degrees and sunny. Come on now, give God glory. We got to start calling these things which are not as though they already are. That is the fact. But you get in your car and you're realizing it's not starting. That is too a fact. Now you have a choice. Your first reaction, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. But your first reaction to the situation tells where your faith level actually is. Say it one more time. Your first thought and reaction to the situation that you're dealing with literally gives you the temperature gauge of your faith level. I've heard people say they got in a car accident and the first word out of their mouth was a cuss word. I've heard other people say that when they got in a car accident, their first words, they cried out to Jesus. What is inside always comes where your faith level is when pressure is put on will manifest itself. If you want orange juice, you don't get orange juice by staring at an orange. You've got to squeeze the orange to get the juice. To realize what's truly inside of you, there are times that trials and tribulations, as James says, count it all joy when you fall into different trials and tribulations. Well, why is that? Because it actually allows us to see the kind of juice or our faith level within our own heart. Until we recognize it, we will usually not increase it. Oh, come on. Two. That was two. That was literally two. Can I hear another amen? You have to choose. Will you choose to be governed by your senses, or will you choose to be governed by the Word of God? Now, if you don't know the Word of God, then you got issues. This is why at His Tabernacle, we have Rock Solid Faith on Tuesday night at 7 p.m., Rock Solid Faith every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., Rock Solid Faith every Thursday night at 6 p.m., Rock Solid Faith every Tuesday down in Mansfield at 7 p.m., and every Thursday night in Ithaca at 6 p.m. How'd I do? This is why we have all these classes. It's not to be, listen now. It's not so we can get you to come to a class. In fact, you'll find there are no offerings usually taken except in my class, because I believe you should never come to the King's house without a gift. Other than that, all the other classes don't receive offerings. Has nothing to do with offerings. Has to do with us sowing into you. Sowing what? Sowing the Word. Why are we sowing the Word? So that you can grow up. We have women's ministry on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We have men's ministry every Wednesday night at 6:45. We have a Bible study every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Why do we do this? So that you can grow up in Christ. That you can know the Word of God. So if you know the Word of God, then you can activate the Word of God. Then you don't have to be governed by your senses. But you see, we all make a decision every single day whom we are going to serve. Do I choose to live by senses, or do I choose to live by the Word of God? You've never seen a more vicious, dictatorial Lord than circumstances. Unmerciful. Circumstances can be unmerciful. Can I hear an amen, or am I? But this is where, when you learn how to walk by faith and not by sight, as unmerciful as that circumstance is, you can call upon the name of the Lord and He'll save you. You can say, God, I thank you that if you're for me, then who can be against me? I thank you, God, that I can walk by faith and not by sight, that I can literally call and speak to this mountain, say, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt. You shall have what you ask. You see, this is the reality. Come on now. This is the reality of being a believer. It is different from being a non-believer. It's different from just going to church. I walk by faith and not by. This is changing your world. Not the trials don't come, but what do you do when the trials come? It comes down to, what do you believe? And what you believe, you speak. Matthew 12, 37, the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Hear me. Faith is released through words. Doubt is released through words. Unbelief is released through words. Not through thoughts. You see, you can captivate your thoughts. Take into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. Did you hear that last part of the verse? That would raise itself up against God. We have a decision to make. When a thought comes in our mind that is not parallel to the Word of God, that is not conducive to the Word of God, that is not the Word of God, you have a choice to make. Do I choose to believe the Word of God, or do I choose to be governed by my senses? And this is the choice that we make every single day. And we've got to say to ourselves, my words that will come out of my mouth will acquit me or condemn me. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you actually believe is encapsulated within your words. Faith and doubt are wrapped up in a sound. What is the sound you make? It is the sound of faith or the sight of, or the sound of senses. I'm not disembarking you from facts, but I'm declaring to you the word. The word says the truth shall make you free, not the facts. We've got to make a decision that God is more powerful than our senses, that God is more powerful than our problems, that God is able to do abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. Either that's true or he's a liar. If he's a liar, let's go home. Let's stop playing. Let's stop playing. Because I don't got time on a Sunday morning that's 78 degrees and it's sunny out to be hanging out here. I'd be on the Harley instead. Can I hear an amen? Catching a few bugs and going for ice cream. I'm in this place because I know the word of God is true. Not by religion, but by my relationship with God, and simply by knowing the word of God, knowing that I don't have to hang my brain on the hat rack and say, I'm an ignorant individual to believe the Bible, but the Bible is the most intellectual faith that you will ever have in your entire life. It takes more faith not to believe in the Bible than to believe in the Bible, and if the Bible is true, yay and amen, and God cannot lie, then when our trouble comes down our pike, we've got to make a decision. Is this more powerful than this? And the problem is, it usually is. God is relinquished to the strength of another man, to the ability that we think he can accomplish. And the challenge with that is, we forget that he parted the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground. We forget the fact that he opened the River Jordan. Can I hear an amen? We forget the fact that he made bitter water turn sweet. Can I hear an amen? We forget the fact that there's a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. Can I hear an amen? We forget the fact that Jesus Christ did not just die and get buried in a grave, but on the third day rose again. Come on now, we forget the fact that my God is not dead. My God is alive. And if God is alive, then the word is true. For if there is no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. But because it's truth, the truth shall make you free. And if the truth is alive and real, and Jesus is alive and he's real, and his truth is greater than your senses. Come on now, shout amen. Our problem, as a man thinks, so he is. We allow our brains to think anything we want. What gives our mind the right to think any way it desires? Oh, I can tell you. Us. The moment you became born again, your soul became subject to your spirit man. So to allow your thoughts to control your life means that you've allowed your soul to bring God into captivity and bring him to a position of lowly man. Don't give me excuses. Don't give God excuses. Don't give yourself an excuse. If we choose to live by the flesh, it's not that we don't have the ability to walk by the Spirit. We choose who we'll walk with. Watch now. Unless two be in agreement, they cannot walk as one. So when you couple yourself, when you couple yourself with the facts, you're one. And if you're one with your facts, then why are you shocked with your harvest? Some of you don't like your harvest. You don't like what you got in your life. Change your seed. Agree with God. And you will find when you start agreeing with God and speaking the truth above your facts that the supernatural world will bend the natural world's laws and bring forth heaven to earth. Amen? Are you getting it? Or am I just talking to myself? Come on now, this is life transforming here. This is not just a nice little sermonette. This is why I asked for extra time, because I need to make sure that I drill this home on the last message on this next level faith, because we don't have, come on now, I'm going to preach a whole month on supernatural next level healing, but you're never going to get your next level healing if you can't get your next level faith. You can't get your next level change until you have your next level faith. You'll never step out on nothing if you don't have faith. Oh, see why my heart breaks a little? Because all these folk that are out playing. Don't give me the bogus. Come on now. I feel a little meanness coming on me. I got to get it out. No, I can't. I can't say my meanness. I want to grab you, shake you, beat you. You think it's about church attendance to me. It's not about church attendance, or I wouldn't be here stinking in New York State in horse heads. This is about church attendance. I'm going to be down south where I can grow a church of 3,000 to 5,000 people without blinking an eye. This is about you and I changing this region, but we're not going to change this region if we live the same way the world lives. We can't change this region if we think the same way the world thinks. We've got to be able to walk in heaven. We've got to be able. Come on now. The Bible says, come on. You're seated in heavenly places. Well, you know. I'm not saying there aren't going to be trials and tribulation. I'm not saying there are not going to be difficult times. But it's not the hard times that are your Lord. It's Jesus that is your Lord. And if Jesus is your Lord, then you look and bow before your Lord and call those things which are not as though he declared them to be. Not governed by what's sitting in front of you. This is the change. This is the change. Oh, come on. I need a month just for this message. We've got to allow God to think through us. Let me say it again. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. It's no longer I that lives, but... Come on now, it's no longer I that lives, but. It's no longer I that lives, but. So why aren't you allowing him to think for you? Wow, Pastor, it sounds like brainwashing and mind control. It is. Absolutely. Are we trying to brainwash you at His Tabernacle Family Church? Absolutely. I'm trying to wash your brains with the Word of God. Oh, I've got scriptures for you just so that you know. Where are you? There it is. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know what the will of God is? How God thinks. You can't know how God thinks until you're transformed. Oh, come on. There's another verse. You ready? I love it. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. Make us holy and pure, cleansing us through the showering of the water, pure water of the Word of God. Do you want to know why you're in church today? Because God is washing your brain. Why? Because we've allowed our brains to manipulate us too long and our thoughts to control us, our senses to control us, and we diminish the Word of God to a position to where God's Word is nothing more than another religious book. But if it's truly the Word of God, if Jesus is truly the risen Christ, if Jesus is truly the Messiah, if Jesus is truly the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, then we've got to make a choice. If Jesus is truly the truth that makes us free, then we've got to make a choice. We've got to make a choice that the truth is more powerful than our senses. We've got to walk by faith and not by sight. I said we got to walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to walk by and not by. Come on now. We got to walk by and not by. You get that in your spirit, things start to shift. I felt the anointing release as we were saying that last time. I felt the anointing release. Some of you had a transition right there. Your mind started to change. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. Jesus.
You see, your words house and release your faith. I want to prove it to you. Is that all right? I want to show you kingdom law. I didn't say kingdom suggestion. I didn't say kingdom choice. I said kingdom law. Many of us want God to do it our way. Sorry, he's not Burger King. We don't tell God how he runs his kingdom. The kingdom is not a democracy. I got to say that one again because I got to get that in your spirit. The kingdom is not a democracy. You don't have the right to tell God what your thoughts are. Well, I don't know. I have an opinion. Who cares? He is God and you are not. He is king and you are not. Listen, you can be the king of your own world, but baby, that's a small little kingdom. And remember, whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. You can't heal the wing of a fly. Yet you want to be king. This is kingdom law. Kingdom law. Which means, whether you like it or not, this is how it works. So you either comply to the law or you are a lawbreaker. One more hour, we're out of here, baby. How long will you sit for something that will change your life?
Well, you know, Pastor, I have a thing to do at 11 o'clock. Cancel it!
What's more important than changing your life? See, sense doesn't always make sense. Kingdom law is this, that if God himself is governed by it, then you and I can't go around it. If kingdom law, if God, the one who said, let there be and there was, made it all, then you and I can't say, God, I don't think it works that way. I'm going to try it my way. Try it your way. David tried it that way when he went to go get the presence of the Lord. When he went to go get the presence of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, he brought a cart. And what happened was the cart hit a stone and started to jostle. A man with a good heart, a sincere heart, went up to steady the Ark of the Covenant. He touched it and dropped dead. Why? Kingdom law, don't touch. David's frustrated. But God, I'm bringing your presence back to Jerusalem. Why did he die? And God said, I didn't tell you to put it on a cart made with man's flesh sense. I told you to put it on the shoulder of man who I created. And when David did kingdom law, the presence of God came back to Jerusalem, and David went dancing down the middle of the street. Come on now, in his underoos. Glory to Jesus. He is so excited about being in the presence. Here it is. I've got to hustle. Genesis chapter 1. I don't have the time to go through it all right now, but I'm going to touch it real quick. You ready? Verse 3 and 4. And God said, if I shout, God said, it means he spoke. A sound was released. Shout, God spoke. Let there be light, and there was light. Here it goes. Verse 4. And God saw. God spoke, and God saw. God spoke. And God saw. Go all the way down creation. You'll find the exact same thing. Romans chapter 4 says that God spoke those things by faith into existence. God spoke. God saw. What you speak is what you'll see. It's kingdom law.
Not man law, not religion law, not church law, not Spencer law. This is God's law. Listen, it's called the law of firsts. What does that mean? When you see God do something the first time, it's a law. Here's the law. God spoke, God saw. God spoke, God saw. What are you speaking? Now what are you seeing? So many of us are living a life of our spoken word, and we can't understand what's going on. The Bible's so clear. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit, which means this, what you speak, you eat. For faith is released, encapsulated by your words, and so is doubt, unbelief. So is agreement. What are you agreeing with? You know, we're kind of flippant. I'm very guilty, and I've been working on this. Because remember, I probably preached this sermon probably 20 times in 32 years. But I got to keep hearing and hearing. For faith comes by hearing and 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 hearing. And faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, not heard. I've heard it, but I got to be reminded. Why? Because it's so easy to slide back into the old habit of allowing our flesh to rule our life. It's very easy to allow our mind to control us to where we're no longer believing the word of God over everything else. We've got to come back to the truth. I said we got to come back to the truth, for either God is a liar or he's truth. And if he's truth, then his word is above your circumstances. And what you speak is what you eat. I said the verse earlier, the words we speak acquit. The word there is righteousness, being in right standing with God. Or condemn, the word there is doumas. The words we speak either acquit us, what that does is that says, I'm agreeing with God. I'm believing what God says. I'm in righteous position. I am in right place with God. I'm in a right position with God. Or they will doom us. You see, our words are that powerful. And I want to tell you how you can prove this. Watch a child who's never been told they were loved. Look at a child who's always been told they were a loser. Look at a child who's always been talked down to and beat on. Watch a child like that. You'll find them very rarely will they ever come out of the bottom. They did a study so many years ago. They took a child, they put the kid in a crib. No human interaction for 2 years. Child still couldn't feed themselves, still messed themselves, did all the things. Why? Because they were subtracted from the most important things in their life, interaction and love. When you and I are in this place where we are speaking and dooming ourselves, it's simply because we're not agreeing with God. Listen, everything you get from God is by the spoken word. You can't be saved without speaking. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Those who call, sound. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. You receive it by faith, but you speak your faith because it's manifested as you are now speaking with a tongue that is not of man. God uses your tongue. He uses your voice to pray in the spirit. Man, when you pray in tongues, when you pray in tongues, you're praying words you don't even know. But what happens in the spirit realm is God says that I hear it, I can release it, I'm going to answer. Why? Because it's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God praying in unity. Listen, you can't get a better prayer than the Spirit of God praying, because God can never contradict himself. That's why he uses tongues. You can't overcome your mountain without speaking to it. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. See, we've got to come to a decision. Who are we agreeing with? Do we actually believe and agree with God? Or do we actually agree and believe in our senses? Jesus said, this is not our home, by the way. We are sojourners here, which means we're not governed by the laws here. We're governed by eternal laws. Now, he did say, obey the laws of the land for all those renegades in the room. Let me ask you a basic question. Ready? I'm almost done. Really, I am. You ever had somebody come up to you and say, hey, how are you today? First of all, they really don't care how you feel. I did this. It's really a lot of fun. When you go to the supermarket next time and you get in line, they go, hi, how are you? Go, do you really care? Their face, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to say because, honestly, it's just words that came out of their mouth. They weren't even thinking of it. And when you go, do you really care? So usually if my wife is there, they'll say, how are you? And I said, do you really care? And they go, yes. I said, well, my wife has some serious emotional issues. I was wondering if you could help her. Do you realize that your response to that simple question that you get all the time is either the word of God or your own?
Well, you know, I got up this morning. I had double heartburn. I feel horrible. Well, you know, I just got to go to the bathroom, but I can't do it. I don't understand. Well, it's Monday.
Isn't it amazing how many of the words that we speak, for in the abundance of words, there's sin, the Bible says, Proverbs. How much we actually speak that is contrary to the word of God? And then we can't understand why we're eating the fruit. We can't understand why our life kind of stinks. Because, baby, you've made rotten fruit. My wife bought a bag of cherries. I put one in my mouth yesterday, and it went, bleh. There was no click to it. You know how they go click? You know, you can feel the juice go click, and it's like, yeah. No, it went, bleh. And I went, because you knew it was rotten. How many responses do we give that are not agreeing with the word of God? How are you today? Well, you know, if you only knew the problems I have. I don't need to know the problems you have. Because I can't help your problems. There's only one that can help your problems. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. Can I hear it? Amen. It's time to get back to believing the Bible. It's time to get back to believing the word of God. That his word is true. That his word is true. That God's word is true. It's not a lie. God's word is true. And we've got to believe and agree with God more than we believe and agree with our senses. I'm almost done. That's number two. I heard you were sick. Are you okay?
Well, you know, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said,
what is that rhyme? What is that nursery rhyme? No more monkeys jumping on the bed.
Well, Pastor, I don't want to be a liar.
Then shut up. You don't have to answer them when they ask you.
How are you? I heard you were sick. Well, you know, the doctor gave me this. The doctor gave me that.
Listen, I'm not against doctors. Thank God for doctors. They help thwart sickness. But when you put more faith in a doctor, listen now, than you do in the great physician, then you got your situation. When you agree more with the doctor who has to live by senses o'clock. Come on now. I'm out of time. One of the doctors came up to me and said, Pastor, if you believe it's always God's will to heal, then what is my purpose in the kingdom of God? It's a good question, isn't it? They've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars for education. Their heart is for healing. So what is the purpose for a doctor? And I looked at him and I said, that's easy. I said, look at all the people that are not born again. You are their only hope. And worse, look at all the believers that don't believe it's always God's will to heal. You are the only hope. And for those who do believe it's always God's will to heal, then you help them signify exactly what needs to be prayed for and call those things which are not as though they already are, to curse sickness, to curse disease, to declare the righteousness of God, to declare the truth above the facts.
Well, are you having money problems? Well, you know, life is crashing around us. Well, you know, money is so bad. I don't even have enough money to tithe.
Well, that's the reason you got no money, number one. You don't tithe, you're cursed with a curse.
Well, I don't believe that. Well, keep trying what you're doing because it's not working, is it?
I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Come on now, don't worry about tomorrow. The sparrows of the sky, God sees when even one falls. The hairs on your head, he even knows what they are. Can a man add an inch to his life, an inch to his body by worrying? Don't worry because worry does nothing. Start speaking the word. Start speaking the word. Start speaking the word. Start speaking the word. Declare the word. The word is above your facts. Come on now, start declaring that God's word. Come on, bend my facts, Jesus. Bend my facts, Jesus. Bend my facts, Jesus. But you will never have bent facts if you agree with the facts. You got to agree with God's word. This is what makes you different. Turn to someone and say, you are different. I knew it anyways. But
well, I don't know if I believe in this religious stuff.
Well, I'm not giving you religious stuff. I'm giving you kingdom stuff. Keep living the way you want. Don't worry. You will eat. You will get your harvest. Number one, you'll get eternity separated from Jesus Christ without knowing me as your Lord. Number two, when you do have trouble, who do you got to call on? Aunt Lucy? Aunt Lucy can't heal the fly either. Who do you got?
Well, I'm going to call the pastor.
Pastor can't help you. He can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, but you got to have enough faith to keep your recovery.
Oh, Pastor, I need help paying my rent. I can help you pay your rent, but the fact is if you don't start tithing and start declaring the word of God, then I'm gonna
have to pay your rent next month. And guess what? I ain't. I am. Tell them the way it is. Bam!
Why? Because isn't it time for the believers to start being believers again instead of religious folk that go to church on a Sunday morning and live like hell the rest of the week?
No, I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. What I mean by living like hell is governed on this sense realm. Which government do you choose to submit to? Which laws do you choose to be your Lord? The laws of sense or the laws of the kingdom? And ignorance is not bliss. I said, ignorance is not bliss.
Oh, listen, I'm not perfect at this. My wife would tell you. My children would tell you. Randall, who's always at our house, will tell you. I love you, Randall. I'm not perfect at this. But I choose to arrest my day. And there are times in the daytime that I'm agreeing with the sense world and negating the spirit law. And I've got to ask God to forgive me. Because that means I'm taking my lordship back. When I'm governing my own life, I am my own Lord. If I'm my own Lord, then who is he now?
Do you think he's going to submit to us? Or do we submit to him? Bam! Here's your homework. What? Here's your homework. Write it down. You ready? I want you to take the rest of this day and evaluate the words that come out of your mouth. Do they agree with God or disagree with God? Do they line up with the word? Listen now, your wife makes you mad. I was actually just watching the front row right here, these two guys. You should have seen Chris's face when I said that. He looked right over his wife and went, I feel a death march coming on. Glory to God. Question. Govern your words today. And then, you can't govern tomorrow's words by today, but you can govern tomorrow's words by that day. Make a choice. Turn to someone and say, you got to simply be quiet. Tell somebody else, your opinion really doesn't matter. Isn't it amazing how many of us really believe our opinion matters? Duh. You can share your opinion, they didn't listen to what words you said anyways. Tell somebody else, be quiet. Now listen, some of you aren't going to respond unless you're a little bit more aggressive. Say, you need to shut up. See, now some people got excited about that now. And if you got a husband or wife, or maybe you're the child and a parent in the room, when your parent starts talking against the word of God, look at your parent and say, out of all due respect, does that line up with the word of God? Ask a question. Don't rebuke them. You're not to rebuke your parents. You ask them a question. But if it's your spouse, you look at them and go, shut up. Because remember, whatever harvest you have is because you spoke it. Well, Pastor, I didn't ask for this sickness. Nope. Sometimes sickness comes on our bodies. But the fact is what are you going to do with it when it gets there? You have a right to agree with it or to agree with God. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. Isaiah 53:1. Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. Oh, there's a song. Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I don't remember the rest of it, but it was a good song. And I can't sing anyways. I was praying for healing for all your years. Glory to Jesus. Question. Bow your heads with me this morning. This is a very practical message. This is an everyday message. But there are people in the room that don't know Jesus or are not right with God. You're not right with Jesus. Maybe at one point in time you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, but you have not served God for a lot of years. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Sometimes we just got to come back to the cross. Can I hear an amen? Has anybody come back to the cross more than once? Just slide your hand up. I have. I've come back to the cross more than once. There's no pride in it. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not right with God. You know you're not right with God. No one has to tell you. But today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to pray with you. Come on now. If you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, slide your hand up right now. Thank you, sir, very much. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on. I'm not going to wait long. 5. Come on. 4. 3. Come on. Get your hand up. 3. 2. And last call. And let's all stand to our feet. I've gone late. I preached an hour. No, you don't understand. I can preach too. I was being gracious. Men, if you'll come up 2 steps. If I could have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. Sometimes the Bible says we need the prayer of agreement. Sometimes the weight you're carrying is heavier than in your own heart and mind you feel you can struggle with. And I want you to realize there are faith people right here. They'll lay hands on you. They'll decree with you. They'll stand with you. Where two touch one thing, it shall be done. And if you raise your hand for salvation, can everybody turn to the person next to them and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with. Come on. Even if your husband or wife is saved, come on, Ken, ask Shelly. She might need salvation today. Everybody ask the person next to them. No, they're really saved. I'm talking like saved. I'm just teasing them. I see everybody looking for them. Right there. Here we go. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. I want you to come right out of your seat. Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. Come right out of your seat. Meet me right here. We want to pray with you this morning. Come on now. Anybody didn't raise your hand, it's your time to come. Don't waste your time. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Come right on over here, sir. I'm very proud of you. Thank you so much. Oh, God's all over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're all over this man. He'll never be the same from this day forward for the glory of God. We give you all the praise, Jesus, in your name. Amen. This is Mindy. She's going to pray with you. We're going to get you a Bible. I'm proud of you, man of God. You'll never be the same from this day forward. Amen. How many believe that's true? The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Father, release a blessing on this house in Jesus' name. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord my God. I declare, God, I'm blessed going in and blessed going out. I declare, God, I am saved and my household is saved. I declare, God, that there is no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, and no growth that do not belong in my body. And I declare, I'm built for prosperity. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. Lord, I thank you. The blessings are chasing me down. In Jesus' name, and everybody in agreement shouted, amen. Have an awesome day. Serve Jesus with all of your heart and enjoy 78 degrees and sunny.